Welcome in to Family Devotions with Religionless Christianity. We're so grateful that you're here. We are happy that you're joining us as we continue our walk through the book of Genesis, today discussing Genesis chapter 10. And as we come to Genesis 10, we are presented another lineage, this time the generations of Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons of Noah. Now, the first question we should ask when we come to texts like this, the long lists of descendants, is, why is this here? Then we should answer our own question by reminding ourselves that it's here because God determined it was important. Therefore, we must not overlook them. Each and every chapter and verse in Scripture is important, and so it is with Genesis chapter 10. And here we see that from the descendants of Japheth, that as they departed the ark, they spread out from Mount Ararat into the coastlands, establishing the coastland nations. Among the many sons of Shem, Eber is born. And what's interesting about Eber is he is father of all the Hebrews. This is the man whom they get their name from, and of course, ultimately, the Lord Jesus Christ will come from the line of Shem. And lastly, we have Ham. Ham, the cursed son of Noah, if we remember from Genesis chapter 9. He began to be fruitful and multiply, and from Ham came four sons, notably Canaan, from whom came many sons whose lands would eventually extend from Sidon as far as Gaza. And of course, we know that this land, the land of Canaan, would be the promised land Israel would conquer under Joshua. And in addition to Canaan, Nimrod came from Ham. Nimrod, whose name means "we shall rebel." Nimrod, who Genesis 10 tells us became the first mighty man on earth, in Genesis chapter 10, verse 9. Nimrod would go on to ultimately fulfill the calling of his name, as we will see next week, but in Genesis chapter 10, we see that Nimrod founded many cities. Among those cities, he founded Babel and Nineveh. And according to Matthew Henry, Nimrod's aspiring mind could not rest here. He was resolved to tower above his neighbors, and not only so, but to lord it over them. You know, we see this spirit of Nimrod still present in our time. We see today in our time men and women who seek to rule over others, exercise power and authority over others. Those today desire to be served and obeyed rather than God. In Nimrod's day, as we'll see next week, he seeks to bring all peoples and nations together under his authority and use that power to attempt to overthrow God. In our day, we have men and women not satisfied with authority over their families or homes, not even their cities, states, or nations. Today, like with Nimrod, we have men and women who are still seeking to join the world together under their rule. Nations joining with nations, all under the claim that they are going to make the world a better and safer place. Yet Psalms 24, verse 1 tells us that the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and those who dwell in it. We can't fix the hearts of other men and women, but we can recognize the spirit of Nimrod in our own hearts when we seek to rule over others, when we seek to be submitted to and served. We can recognize that spirit and repent. We can recognize that we are servants of a king already, a king that commands us to be joyful servants.
It's really amazing how from those three sons, we have so many types of people and languages. We see how certain tribes came from each one. These sons and Noah, I'm sure, shared the story of the flood with their children and grandchildren and so on. But knowing God exists and knowing about his wrath and power is not enough to cause you to fear him and walk before him with a pure heart. And we don't know if the first grandchildren of Noah feared the Lord, but you would assume they would since they know the firsthand witnesses of the flood. They were the ones spared. There were not any other tribes around to tempt them into serving other gods yet. Yet they went astray in their own hearts. You'd think if you had the opportunity to start civilization over with your family, you would teach them to love the Lord and they'd continue the pattern of raising children after God's heart. But sin and folly was obvious in Ham's heart, even after the flood. And we don't read of God saying to Noah's sons that they have the opportunity now to fix the world's problem of sin, that they can teach their children his ways, and now as they multiply, that they would have world peace. No, sin is passed down from us to Adam, and no amount of effort on our part is going to fix that. God still knew only Jesus could and would remove sin. It is a heart issue that we cannot fix. We even know in our own heart that we are tempted to sin, to turn against God. We know it is only by God's Spirit we can overcome temptation to sin. And He does give us His Spirit to rule our hearts and convict us of sin. He is the Good Shepherd, discipling us, disciplining us when we go astray, and He guides us in His ways, refreshing our souls in His Word. So we should read His Word daily because it is spiritual food for our soul. And if you have children, read the Word to them. Don't neglect to feed their souls as well.
And we'll end today with our prayer from the Scottish Psalter of 1595. Today reading from Psalm 24. O God, Lord and ruler of the whole world, let it please Thee of Thy good grace to dwell among us, and make us participants of all Thy celestial blessings, that we, being strengthened by Thy power, may obtain victory over all our enemies. In the name of the Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.